Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be with you today. Beautiful drive up here this morning. A little foggy, actually, in places. Yet, it was exhilarating to come through the Ozarks, seeing the sun coming up. I got up this morning at about 6:15 and walked a mile and a half. Still dark when I got out. I got some exercise this morning. So today's a big day for us. We are having a fish fry at our church tonight. And so I will make a quick exit this morning to head back. Fish ready to go. We have two singers coming to sing for us, the Cornwell Twins. I don't know whether you've ever had the Cornwell Twins, but you ought to think about having them up here. I think you really enjoy it. They go out and do gospel music concerts. They do a free will offering type thing. They are really good. They are very humorous. Presentation, and you would really enjoy it. It's a real good fit for the church here, so I just give them a little bit of advertisement. You might think about them. They are located in Joplin, Missouri. If you happen to want to get a hold of them, all you have to do is holler at me, and I will get word to you about how to get a hold of them. So, anyway, drive all the way to Forsyth tonight and fish and the gospel concert with Cornwell. Well, I debated about what to preach today. I had a passage of scripture on my mind and I almost came prepared to preach on it. But I thought, I think I'll wait till next week. So I put off the sermon that I was going to preach today until next week. I probably will share that message with you. A message that's been on my heart for some time. Titled Healing the Land. And it talks about 2 Chronicles 7:14, a passage of scripture that is so very important to us. And I think our country needs experience. So next week I will tell you in advance that's going to be the text that I will share with you next week, the message. And then the week after that, you'll be getting somebody else because I'm going to be having my surgery on the 9th of October. So I won't be preaching that Sunday following the 9th. Prayers. I've never had anything like that done. Of course, skin cancers. So pray that you prayers. Well, text today for our message, Psalms, first chapter, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to have John put the title of the message. Making it come alive. So we're going to look at that in just a moment. But I have a story. Share my message with you. I hope that doesn't bother you for me to tell stories. I just think it's fun to do, and I do it because I think Christians ought to have good humor. We ought to be able to laugh, enjoy life. And don't you think the Lord wants us to be that? that way? I mean, it says in the book of Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I think that the Lord had, I think the Lord has a good sense of humor. So I think he intends for us to be that way too. Anyway, the Bible talks about a good countenance and joy and peace. The Spirit is throughout the Scriptures. Old Testament and New Testament talk about it. Especially the book of Proverbs. I'm going to challenge you to read the book of Proverbs with that in mind, that God wants us to be a cheerful heart. And you ought to just read with that one thought the book of Proverbs and take note of all the places that it talks about having that kind of a heart in you. Even it says, you know, when it talks in the New Testament about the offering, it says, God loves the heart of a cheerful giver. Did you notice that? It says that in the New Testament. And I really kind of need to slow down here, or I might preach a sermon on this subject today. But anyway, here's my story. It's a story about a couple of little boys, age 8 and 10. They were excessively mischievous. You know what I'm talking about. These two boys were always getting into trouble, and their parents could be assured that if any mischief occurred in the town, that their two young sons were some way involved. If you know what I'm talking about, you've probably been around kids like that. But the parents were at their wits' end as to what to do with their son's behavior. So the mother had heard that a clergyman in town had been successful in disciplining children in the past. So she asked her husband if he thought that they should send the boys to speak to the clergyman. So the husband said, we might as well do that. We need to do something before I really lose my temper. And the clergyman agreed to speak with the boys. But he asked to see them individually. So the 8-year-old went to meet with him first. And the clergyman set the boy down and he asked him sternly, he said to the boy, to the 8-year-old, he said, where is God? Well, the boy made no response. So the clergyman repeated the question in a little sterner tone. He said, where is God? Again, the boy made no attempt to answer, so the clergyman raised his voice even more and shook his finger in the boy's face and said, where is God? At that, the boy bolted from the room and ran directly home, slamming himself in the closet. His older brother followed him into the closet and he asked, what happened? The younger brother replied, we're in big trouble this time. God is missing and they think we did it. I thought that was pretty good. Take your Bibles. Turn with me to Psalms, the very first chapter, verses 1-6. Making it come alive. I'll begin with the first verse. I'll be reading to you from the New American Standard Version of the Bible and read down through verse 6 of Psalms 1. Take note of God's word. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Now listen to this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Blessed is the man. Are you here today seeking the blessing of God? I hope you are. Happy indeed is the man or the woman who has found delight in the blessed Word of God. Among the blessings of the Word you will find the light of truth. You're going to find the light of truth that God has given to escape the darkness of ignorance which engulfs the unbelieving mass of humanity. The life that God gives us in Christ Jesus is also involved here. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12, refers to that. James, the 1st chapter, verse 18. It will also involve instruction that will renew and transform our minds and our hearts, cleansed by the Word of the Lord. Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 2, through the Word we gain wisdom and understanding, which comes from God and is valid and valuable for all eternity as well as for earthly relationships. Answers. You're going to find answers for a questioning world. This is the only book that tells you where you came from and where you're going and why you should be here. It's the only book that tells us that. That's out there. Think of the hundreds of thousands of millions of books that have been written and are in libraries. This is the only book that tells you, why am I here? What am I doing here? And where am I going? When I'm tired, the Bible is my bed. Or in the dark, the Bible is my light. When I'm hungry, it's the living bread. Or fearful, it's armor for the fight. When I'm sick, 'tis healing medicine, that is the Word of God. For lonely throngs of friends I find therein. If I would work, the Bible is my tool. Or play, it is a harp of tuneful sound. If I'm ignorant, it is my school. If I'm sinking, it is the solid ground to stand on. If I'm cold, the Bible's my fire that warms me. It gives wings if boldly I aspire. Does gloom oppress? The Bible is the sun to you. Midst ugliness, it is a garden fair. Am I athirst? How cool its waters run. Or stifled? What a vivifying air. Since thus thou givest of thyself to me, how I should give myself, great book, thee. Making it come alive subject of our discussion today. If the Bible is such a blessing, then why do we fail to read, study, and embrace it? I believe that more often than not, part of the problem is that the book is dead to us. So allow me to offer some suggestions, and I have a few for you to think about, on how to make this book, the Bible, to come alive for you. Much of our distress has to do with our approach to studying and reading and taking in the Word of God. So before we do that, I would like to invite you to join me in prayer. And then we will share with you some different ways of reading your Bible that will help you to make it come alive. Would you pray? Dear Lord, we are gathered here together here in this place to worship you in spirit and truth. We have done our best today to do that through song. Pray that you have received our songs of praise and that you're happy with us as we are happy with you, dear Lord. You're so good to us. And now as we study your word, we pray that you will instruct us, that you speak through your spokesperson today, that I will be able to share what's on my heart with those who've gathered, and we will allow your word to really come alive in our hearts. So challenge us with your word. Make us willing, loving servants in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing I would like to suggest to you on making it come alive is this. Read your Bible expectantly. Do you read your Bible expectantly? What do you expect when you read the Bible? I hope you expect to hear the voice of God. Ask, Jesus said. Seek, Jesus said. Knock. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Is this your prayer? Is this the prayer on your lips? We pray, God, speak to me. God, show me the way. God, help me to know your will. And then we ignore his revelation to us. We sing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. We sing that song. But do we really mean it? What better place to see, to hear God, than in his word to us? It's called a revelation. This is his revelation to us. Many people treat the Bible like a drunk treats a light post for support, not illumination. And then we need to pray for wisdom. You know, the Bible says in James, the first chapter, verse 1, this is a great passage of Scripture. You need to seize upon it and really use it. But if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. we find the best counsel in the world for living our lives? This is the best marriage manual. This is the best book of psychology. This is the best parenting guide. This is the best business management volume. It is the best financial planner. It is the best moral rule book. It is the best law book. It is the best plumb line for all civilization. And it's a spiritual atlas. The answer to many of our prayer requests for wisdom are to be found in this great volume. Do you read it expecting answers to your questions? This book will forever change you. One of the strongest evidences of credibility of the Scriptures is its transforming power. This thing works! Each one of us could take the stand and testify to this truth. Every one of us could come up into this pulpit today and tell stories on how this book has made a difference. Jesus makes a difference in our life. In the lives of others. John Newton was a notorious slave merchant. What changed him completely from slave to trader and libertine to a Christian? It was the Bible that changed him. He wrote a familiar hymn we sing that goes like this: Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And then, of course, the guidance of the Holy Spirit into all truth is in this book. When He, the Spirit, comes, the Bible says, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. Now, I used to think, when I read that scripture, that it only applied to the 12 apostles. And in the sense of special revelation, that still holds true. But we need today in the church to expect the Spirit to direct and guide us in our understanding of God's Word. Don't you think? Before you get excited, and I'm not suggesting that we should seek for an additional revelation from God and that God would have that fall down upon us. But the message is complete. This message in here is complete. And there's so much here that we need to learn. And that perfect which has come is the Word of God. And so we don't need the bits and pieces of Revelation. We've got the whole story right here. And we need to get the whole story in the whole of our life. And then we will be able to allow the Holy Spirit in the Word of Truth, the Bible, to make us and move us into the kind of people that God wants us to be. This is a well that never dries up. Complacency is the great enemy of the Bible student. Continue to hunger and thirst after truth and righteousness. You will never completely grow up in Jesus. You will always be a disciple of Christ. Learning, 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 growing, 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 better, better, better. That never stops. It is like Paul stated, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I have laid hold of in the Lord Jesus Christ. Reading the Bible is like Bennett Springs over here near Lebanon, Missouri. You can never exhaust the flow of it. Just keeps on coming out of the ground and just keeps on filling up your bucket. And so it is with the Word of God. Read it expecting answers. Read it expecting it to make a difference in your life. Point number one. Point number two, read it enthusiastically. Oh my, it's better than whole hump. Enter into the Bible with the same enthusiasm one might have visiting with the Master face to face, because that's what you're doing. Do you really think that when you read your Bible? I mean, do you really understand that you're an audience with God's Son and the Holy Spirit and the Almighty is speaking to you? what's happening when you read your Bible. What would you do if you knew that Jesus was coming to town tonight? I mean, you really found out that Jesus is coming to town tonight, and that he would be right here in this church, preaching from this pulpit. Would you come to hear him? Would you? I mean, the Cardinals are playing tonight. The Cowboys are playing against the Saints. We're having a fish fry. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. And you heard that Jesus Christ was coming to town. You know what he did? He climbed up into a sycamore tree so that he might get a better view of the Master coming. Just to catch a glimpse of him as he walked by. How much trouble are you willing to go to see Jesus? Are you willing to open this book up? Are you willing to turn over here into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read about the Master? I'll tell you what this book is. This book is a volume concerning Jesus. In the Old Testament, it's saying, He is coming! He is coming! He's coming! In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's saying, He is here! He is here! And then from the book of Acts all the way to the book of Revelation, it's saying, He's coming again. This book from Genesis to the book of Revelation is all about Him. And all you have to do is open it up and turn a page and read a word. That's what it takes. And that's what we need to do. The Bible says in the book of John, the 20th chapter, verse 13, but these things have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have faith and life in His name. What was from the beginning, John said, and what we've heard and what we have seen with our eyes, what we've beheld with our hands concerning the Word of life, this life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was in the Father and was manifest to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you so that you might have fellowship with Jesus. That's the whole reason why they spent time at the feet of the Master. And then they recorded those things for you and for me in this grand and glorious book so that we might be able to stand and listen and sit before Him at the feet of the Master as well. The word enthusiasm really means to be filled or inspired by God. Since the Bible is the inspired Word of God, we of all people ought to be inspired, excited, enthused to read it. And when you read it, you will be inspired by what it says, radiating enthusiasm and joy. A sad, half-hearted, reluctant Christian is an enigma. But when the joy of the Lord is our strength, we must say with Peter, we cannot but speak the words that we have seen and heard. We need to allow this book to become vivid in our mind's eye, entering imaginatively into our life in the times of the text. Picture yourself on the shores of the Bible characters and the shoes of the Bible characters. Our tendency is to try to look at things from the point of view of God or Jesus, but be in touch with the natures of those involved in the stories. Feel their fears. Seethe with their indignation. Rejoice with them. That's letting this book come alive. And it's really talking about life in the life of those that experienced it so that we might be moved by it. Search the Scriptures with an eagerness of a man looking for treasure. You know, the gold rush of 49 was marked with tremendous enthusiasm. In fact, people were known to have gold fever. You remember reading about that? Literally, they literally became crazy with the gold and stuff. They gave all they had to pursue fortunes that many never realized. It usually meant long hours and lots of hard work, like hunting for diamonds in Murfreesboro, Arkansas. Have you ever done that? I've done that. I remember my first trip, the excitement and the eagerness with which I entered the field. It's just a plowed field. And I remember the second trip and the third trip to that same field. You can find diamonds, some big ones too. Several weeks before one of these visits that we made to Murfreesboro, a lady found a diamond the size of a lemon drop. It was worth $35,000. It was just sitting there in the ground. Most are much, much smaller and come as a result of hours and hours of laborious effort. You will be richly rewarded for your efforts if in digging in God's gold mine. But it does take work. All good things do not come easy. So read the Word of God, first of all, expectantly, and then read it enthusiastically, and then thirdly, read the Word seriously. Not for entertainment, but for edification. That's what it says in the book of Ephesians 11 through 16. It says the Word of God was read publicly, or should be read publicly in our lives, applied publicly in our lives as well. In Bible days, people usually stood and showed their respect when the Bible was being read. We don't do that in church hardly anymore, but that's what they used to do in synagogue. When they opened up the scriptures, everybody stood and read the Word of God because it was a serious subject. It was a subject that required respect. And you know, that's something that's missing a lot in our lives today, is just having respect for the authority of God's Word anymore. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Dullness is not an automatic guarantee of dedication. While our intention is serious, our approach shouldn't be solemn. When truth has been made abstract and impenetrable, many feel that somehow it is deep and important. Yet, muddy streams are not necessarily deep. Think about that. But because it is boring doesn't mean that it is a hidden blessing. We should do everything possible to present the truth in a new and innovative ways, utilizing all the new equipment to help breathe new life into the old, old story. Thank God for PowerPoint, if you know what I mean. So you need to read the Bible seriously and take it seriously, but don't be an old stump, you know what I mean. And then read the Bible submissively. And this is going to be the last point that I'm going to share with you today. Our approach to the Word of God is teach me. Teach me, O Lord. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Psalms 119, verse 33 and 34. Give me understanding that I shall keep the law. Have you come with open arms, an open heart, an open mind to the altar of the Word today? I wonder. I just ought to ask you personally, each one of you, how many of you have read it all the way through? I mean, read it from Genesis to the Revelation. Praise God. Praise God for that. It was a long time before I read it through. Yet I've read it through I don't know how many times now. But we need to read it through, and it'll change your life. Every time you read the Word of God, something different comes to your mind, and something different Desire the sincere milk of the word. Best teachers are those who remain forever students. In a sense, we will always be students at the feet of Jesus. Our posture before the Lord should be, I am the potter. He is the clay. Make me and mold me into the kind of vessel you want me to be. Whatever your approach, the Bible, you need to approach the Bible to prove the Word of God in your life is really living and active and making a difference. And sometimes we don't do so good on that because we've approached the Scriptures with the attitude that I am the potter and he is the clay and I'm going to make him and mold him into the kind of vessel I want him to be. And so some people approach the Scriptures with that in mind, and that's the wrong attitude altogether. We should come as humble, submissive students before the Word of God all the time, allowing him to change us and to make us and to mold us. And let us humbly come before the blessed book and allow him to make us and mold us to vessels fit for his kingdom service. This is the way to knighthood in Jesus. The knights of the round table bowed before King Arthur and were touched with the sword and donned to be knights in the kingdom. James says something like this unto us. It says in the book of James, the 4th chapter, verses 7 through 10, listen to this. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you. William Jennings Bryan said, the humblest citizen of all the land, when clad in the armor of righteous cause, is stronger than all the hosts of error. Stand tall, Christian soldier. Stand tall. So, the message today is to study the Word submissively. Study the Word enthusiastically and study the Word seriously and study the Word, what was the first point? Expectantly. And it will make a huge difference in your life. It's invitation time that we think about our life and think, well, you know, is there anything that I can do in my life to bring me closer to the Lord? The answer is yes, there is. And we could all, you know, I used to think that invitations were just for the weak people. And the who among us is not weak. But it's for everybody. It's for all of us. You know, I mean, is there not this element of truth in what I'm saying here? Don't we all need to rededicate our lives every single week? Yes. You know, and don't we just need to recommit ourselves to the Lord in His service? What about our faith? Doesn't it grow on a daily basis and even today? We could come to this altar of invitation and say, Lord, take me and use me and make me a more willing and wanting servant. All of us. You know, I used to think that the invitation was just for weak people. But it's for everybody. And who among us is perfect? We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. And we've all made mistakes. And we all need to grow in Christ. So this is a moment for all of us.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare You're our living home. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. Heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the Your glory.